and welcome to the God is Geek podcast. My name is Adam Cook, and we have a wonderful, wonderful stage here set for guests, some which you know the voices of, some you've heard plenty, some you've heard not so much. So let's start. Well, let's get him out of the way. Gary Bailey's here.
Get him out of the way. Brilliant. What an intro I get.
Is that not all right?
It's what I'm used to, Adam. It's what I'm used to.
Oh, that's harsh. That's so not true.
Just get the violins out. It's fine.
Yeah. Gary, persecution complex Bailey. Yeah, you're fine. Also, another voice that you've heard plenty of, but not. I'm trying to think. A few weeks ago, Nicola was here to talk about Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Yes. She's back again, Nicola Ardron.
Hello.
Oh, blimey. You're right, Nick. Nicola. Now, there's a reason I can't call you Nick. Sorry.
I'm trying to be professional, Adam.
Well, someone's got to be, I suppose.
Yes.
And you haven't heard him very much, and he is the reason I can't call Nicola Nick, because we will be very complicated. Nick Gillam is here this week too.
Joining you with my phlegm and spittle-covered vocal tones.
Joining who?
Us.
You, all of you.
Oh, I thought you were suggesting we all had colds or something. I didn't know.
No, me.
No, I keep waking up feeling like I've got a cold, but then by midday it seems to have gone, so I suspect it's not far around the corner.
I literally had no voice this morning. I had to tell Alex to get out of my room the minute I woke up. It's like, because it wasn't even 6 o'clock, and it's like...
Did you want to say who Alex is?
That's my little boy.
That's... Okay. Moving on. I thought that would clear things up.
You've got a filthy mind.
Some more questions. Well, hang on. I don't know what you thought I was suggesting, but it was... probably exactly that. We're in the middle of it. There's no question about it. We are in the middle of the big games. In a few weeks, we will all be talking about Red Dead Redemption 2, I suspect. But there are other games. Would you believe it? You wouldn't know it, but there are other games. I don't know if this is... we're not in the news section yet, but I'm just breaking this just now, that there are other games.
Wow.
Nice. I don't believe you.
No, there are. I promise you. We've got a few to get through. One of which, I'm going to say... because I'm playing it too, but Nicola is reviewing it for God is a Geek. And I'm going to say I didn't think we would be discussing, and I'm going to preemptively, this is preemptive though, I didn't think we'd be discussing this game in a manner that we probably will do.
Mm.
Because Nicola, Call of Duty Black Ops 4, the fourth Black Ops, if you will.
Yes.
It's a bit good, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, I'm annoyed, Adam.
Okay.
I'm annoyed.
Definitely wasn't expecting that.
It's proper re-good.
It is, isn't it? It really is. Now, the question I have for you, because... I've played Call of Duty, like yourself, for... actually, I can't remember how many years. All of them. So, a long time, basically. Mm. And they're never bad. Like, you never come away from a Call of Duty in the modern era and go, God, what a shit game. You just don't. You might go, oh, it's good, but it's not. I'm not quite into it this year. Right. Mm. So, what I'm trying to work out, I suspect you might be as well, but I think you're a little further ahead in the process. Why this year? Why does it feel... because I feel like I'm going to get dragged into it. Like, I don't feel that this is a game I'm going to play for a month while everyone else is. I feel like this could be the first Call of Duty in a while that properly gets me.
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, them guns, Adam.
Do you think it's that? Do you think it's not just that?
Oh, my God, them guns. They're
Which
so
guns
good.
In particular?
All like, of them.
All of them? Oh, okay,
all
fair
of
enough.
Them, Adam. All of them. They feel so good.
Mm.
Honestly, they feel so good. Like,
sound
they
like
feel
American.
Titanfall 2 level good.
I didn't want to invoke it that early, but you've done it.
They feel phenomenal. So good. And I think that is a big thing for me, definitely, that's keeping me hooked. But more than that, I just feel like the last couple of iterations of Call of Duty, I felt like... Black Ops 3, I played a lot of. I probably prestiged maybe 5 times in Black Ops 3.
Wow, that's a good amount.
Well, it's not the most of prestige, but, you know,
no,
I played
a
lot
good
of
amount.
It. And then I kind of went forsooth.
Go with it.
Once I finished, I think it was Infinite Warfare after that, wasn't it? I kind of felt towards the end of Black Ops 3 that I was getting a bit fatigued with Call of Duty. And I was a bit like, not really bothered. And then Infinite Warfare came out at the same time, pretty much, as Titanfall 2. And I just bounced straight off Infinite Warfare. I think I played 1 or 2 games online and was just like, nope, I'm not playing this. It just feels really sluggish. And it didn't feel as good as Titanfall 2. And as you all know, I love Titanfall 2.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I don't know. I don't think I've mentioned it before. I have not mentioned it
in the past, but yeah. I do like it.
The fact that game is scared is such a crime.
And then, yeah, I still side-eye folk. Anyway, World War II came about, and I was like, kind of interested, you know, because it's going back a few steps, you know, taking out the double jump and the wall running and all this, that, and the other.
See, I never wanted that. I never wanted them to go back. Well, I wanted them to just embrace the stupid and just, like Titanfall in a way, I didn't want to go back. And I did like World War, but
I didn't enjoy World War II. I think I only got to like level 20 or 25 on it.
Okay.
And I was just like, do you know what? This game is, I'm no longer into this game, because I just felt like, you know, in the past, I've been quite good at Call of Duty. And I think you've seen a few videos of me playing on Black Ops 3. It's like I felt like I was holding my own. Whereas on World War II, I was just like, spawn, walk around a corner, I'm dead.
I had that in Infinite Warfare, even worse. That was like, I mean, World War was bad, but because it had the, I can never remember the damn mode, but the mode that's very Battlefieldy, like the push and pull thing. Was it Conquest?
Conquest, yeah, something like that.
But that mode, because it was a little bit bigger, a little more tactical, I felt like I could at least survive a bit, whereas for me, the pinnacle of all that was Infinite Warfare. It's like, I can't play this anymore.
Yes, and but this I felt doesn't the same.
Feel
that.
That's how I feel with most like online shooters. That's why I don't play most of them, because I just die over and over.
Yeah, but Black Ops 4, man. I feel I feel like I can still play it. It's flattering my aged reflexes, because it's no longer a case of who saw who first, because there's all sorts of other stuff going on. Like you can have armor, or, you know, you can have this, I forget what it's called, this thing that is a bit like the Sixth Sense perk from Black Ops 3, where it kind of gives you an indication of roughly where an enemy's coming from, gives you like a cone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, that then gives you a little bit of a preemptive awareness that they might be near you. So, you know, it's no longer down to who's got the fastest reflexes, although that does still play a huge part of the multiplayer.
There are definitely elements of some people who are just too good.
Yes.
Like, but I want to throw a name of a game here into the mix. And I want to throw it out there, but I want to say it in a very calm, in a very look, I'm not saying it's exactly like that, but there are elements of Black Ops 4 that remind me of Rainbow Six Siege.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that.
In the classes.
Yes, the specialists. That feels, you
know, yeah, the specialists.
Yeah. No, I thought the same thing, particularly in the, I mean, as we know, there is no single-player campaign. However, there is a single-player element, but it's more definitely a tutorial, isn't it, for each of the, is it 8 specialists? I can't remember.
Can we just spend a moment on that? Because so for those not familiar, because I think the last few Call of Duties, I've enjoyed the single-player more than the multiplayer. So the idea was, and I think we said it on this pod, definitely at some point, I know I've said it and I've heard others say it, the fact that they were removing the single player was for me like, oh shit, they don't want me anymore. And actually, I think the opposite's happened, that by taking the single player, whatever the story behind that is, whatever it should have been or whatever it wasn't coming together, whatever has happened, it's not there. It's actually benefited the multiplayer in an enormous way. But the actual, what's left, what's... There's a character. And I don't know whether to laugh or cry. You fucking guns, and I'm going to fucking kill you, and you're called Ajax. Fucking hell, did your mother...
You're an artist, man! You're a fucking artist! Yeah.
But all the while, constantly smoking. And I actually thought for a minute he was going to introduce the first character, then they perhaps have another Black Opsy character introduced. Yeah. But no, he's just the voice. He's the narrator.
Yeah.
And I think I'm at the point where I think it's actually bad.
Yeah.
But I could understand if someone just found it so bad it was funny. But I find it like, oh, shut up, man.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the it's so bad it could be good camp.
Okay.
Because there's a few little phrases and stuff that I've kind of sat there and wrinkled up my face going, what are you doing?
I want to say he calls you one of your characters sugar tits or something.
Yes,
I
believe he does.
And like that's 10 years out of date, that is. I mean, I suppose Black Ops... which Black Ops era are we talking?
It is that kind of, like, overly macho...
Oh, it's, yeah.
So I can't work out whether it's a parody or whether it's taking exactly. itself seriously. I can't quite gauge this at the
but
moment.
All of Black Ops has been a bit like that. Like yeah. after the first one, it's kind of like I'm not going to pretend I know what Black Ops' story is at this point. Not even close. I've no idea.
No, I've no idea. Black Ops 3's story was abysmal.
I haven't even played 3.
Yeah, don't bother. It's awful.
I mean, they're still going with the numbers thing because the loading screen has literally got numbers floating out at you. Mm. So they're still going with it's the numbers Mason or whatever. Mm. Is that Mason? Who is the guy that's shouting at you all the time? I can't remember who it might be.
You know,
I think it is.
He's your training officer, isn't he? So
yeah, I think it is Mason. Yeah.
Which one was Mason? Was that the one played by Sam Worthington?
Tell me the numbers, Mason.
No.
The guy from the very first one.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was Sam Worthington that voiced him.
The thing is, I'm not sure it matters.
No.
But like that aside, the story. So I don't know if you. They've not made a big deal about this, right? Have you noticed that you can do split screen in blackout mode?
Yes.
Have you tried it?
No.
Don't.
I'm not going to.
It's dreadful. It's like 20 frames tops. The textures. And the thing is, obviously, you're still playing everyone else, so they're still playing the same. You know, I presume 4K 60 if they're on the Xbox One X or PS4 Pro, or whatever. But yeah, the textures drop down. It drops to I reckon it maxes at 30, but I don't think very often. Do you know what? I'm not going to criticize it because although it's not very good, I think it's quite nice that there's an option that you can do like Blackout Duos split screen. I don't think many people would do that. You know, Fortnite doesn't do that. It's quite nice that it's there. Before we get deep into Blackout, though, the main multiplayer.
Yes.
Any particular standout modes for you so far? Because I think they're all pretty decent.
I have only played so far Kill Confirmed in both Core and Hardcore. Tedium, obviously, Team Deathmatch. And the control mode, is it called? Where you've got 2 points on a map and you've got
to
attack, defend, and you've only got a certain number of respawns in your
team. That's the one. Yeah, I like that a lot.
I've played that. I want to have a go at this heist mode.
Yes.
Because that's new. Then
but
the
that
rest
sounds
of
a
them,
bit like Titanfall's... What was that one in Titanfall? Like Money in the Bank one or something?
Bounty Hunt.
Yeah, it sounds a bit like that.
I thought it sounded a bit more like a single life capture the flag type mode. Because you've got to get a bag of money or something and take it to a point, but you've only got one life. A bit like Search and Destroy is a single life mode as well, isn't it? So
while we're on the subject of like the main multiplayer, right?
Mm.
Is it just me? This game's really pretty.
Right. I think it looks dreadful.
Do you really?
Yeah. I think the colour palette's really nice. It's quite orangey. It's kind of oversaturated, actually. A lot of the maps are oversaturated, which I kind of like.
That beach map.
But I think texture-wise, it really looks old.
Okay, so you're playing on PS4, aren't you?
Just standard
PS4
I'm playing on.
So I wonder if something's... Because there's, like, you know the map... I'm not going to even try and remember the names of them, but there's one... it's like there's a beachy map. There's a jungle bit in the middle. It's actually a really good map. That's the thing, right? And I think this is important. I haven't played, obviously, every game mode on every map yet. But I feel like Blackout, being this enormous map...
Yeah.
Has made them be able to make some, not small, small is the wrong word, they're not tiny maps, but smaller maps. Like, you're back in the action real quick, and they feel designed very well. And it may be just Blackout throwing me, but I feel like some of the maps are a bit smaller, and I quite like it.
I see, one of the reasons why I've kind of not been as mad keen on Call of Duty over the years is I felt that the maps have got smaller and smaller and smaller.
Okay.
And I haven't enjoyed that element. Like, World War II maps were really small. For the most part. These feel a bit more the sort of size that I like.
They feel... Sorry, that sounds rude. Well, Black Ops, they feel multi-routes, don't they?
Shut up, Gary. These maps seem a bit more... They're reasonably sized. God.
Yeah.
It's penis talk again.
The thing is as well, is there's four legacy maps in there as well. So I've played on Jungle, which is massive. Sorry, that's Jungle a really is massive. Bad joke. Sorry.
I've rewritten the title of this podcast. That if I change it to Jungle is Massive, it would be the third time in as many seconds.
Slums, which is from Black Ops 2. Firing Range, good old Black Ops map, which I love. And Summit, which I haven't played yet, but I used to like Summit.
Is it just though, or is it a bit... Yeah. Every Call of Duty, they keep remaking all the maps.
I think like, can you we need not... to be careful, Gaz, because, I mean, I was just about to bring up Gears of War's Gridlocked. And, like, for me, I do love that map, but whenever I see the... And whenever I see the name, because there is a map in Black Ops 4, is it called Gridlock or Gridlocked? I can't remember. I'm sure there's one in this game.
I can't remember any of the names of the new maps.
It's something like that, and I immediately had it in my head, oh, it's a remake. Oh, no, hang on. No, that's Gears. Yeah. So I don't know. I think that's kind of a thing to do for the fact. I mean, is it 12 or 16 maps?
There's 14.
A lot of maps. Okay, so somewhere in the middle of the truth lies.
There
are a
maps.
Lot of maps.
The thing
that bugs me more when I see it, like, oh, we've remade it, but it's part of the paid maps. Mm. Like, but you're paying for new content. Why are you giving me something I've already played? Yeah, and I know fans will love it, but it's just, it's a bit of a bugbear
for
me.
The thing in the past, Gary, is they've it's the same map layout, but it looks completely different to how you would remember it.
Like Nuketown, they kept changing it. I mean, Nuketown is in the game, just not a multiplayer map, is it?
Oh, I don't. Oh, yeah, Nuketown.
Isn't it part of the Blackout map?
It's a little island on Blackout.
In the past, they've remade maps, but they have literally remade them. So they are the same routes, you know, through the map. But they look completely different. I'm trying to think of one that was in Black Ops 3 that was from a World War 2. I think it was a World at War map. And I can't quite remember what it was called, but it looked completely different. These four maps that they've added in look how they used to look, except they've got this saturated colour palette to them. Yeah. And, you know, they're obviously in this new game, but their layout, and there's nothing new in the map that I was thinking, oh, that wasn't there before. Although I did play Jungle earlier, and I don't recall, but at the beginning of Jungle, it's almost like a napalm strike has been hit around the corners of the map, and I think that's new. I don't recall that being something that happened right at the beginning of the map.
I wouldn't want to stand in a court of law and say definitely.
Yeah.
But I had that same kind of feeling, like this feels like something's happened.
Yeah.
But like, so again, we talked about how that, you know, the guns and you know, I actually just feel like the pace feels good. And I feel like because of the specialists, like you said, it doesn't feel like, oh, bang, dead. There you are. Oh, you're dead. There you're dead. Oh, you're dead. Mm. It does happen still.
Mm.
But I feel like, We've got to talk about this. We've got to talk about Blackout. We don't want to spend obviously an hour talking about COD. We're going to be talking about COD, I'm sure, for weeks to come. But I'm just going to say it, right? I'm going to just say this, and so be it. I think Blackout's fucking brilliant.
It's good. It is good.
It's not new.
No,
it's derivative to the extreme. But the thing that annoys me about PUBG. And I'm sorry, I know PUBG is supremely popular. I know Gary like it. I know, Nicola, you like it as well. Mm. I like it. But the thing that annoys me is that that game is not in early access anymore. And yet you load that up on PC, it is still janky as fuck. It is still... It feels like a game thrown together. And I'm not saying I could do better because I know I couldn't. But I will say that Blackout feels so polished.
Mm.
Everything about that experience feels... How I expect a high budget game, and let's be honest, COD is a high budget game.
Yeah.
It is, but that's how I. So if you say to me, right, like, you know, oh, PUBG's blown up, you know, Fortnite's blown up, and we talked about this, how like, oh, Activision are going to throw money into Call of Duty, and Call of Duty, they're going to have a go at it.
Mm.
Yes, as we mentioned from the beta, it's derivative. It is. It has got its some own touches. Like I love the fact, like the first match I played on the final game, I found a helicopter, and I think I may have whooped with glee. Just, and I mean, it doesn't matter that the helicopter's not always good because you land, and anyone who's in the area is like, well, someone's just got out of that helicopter, and he just followed me and killed me.
Or
and,
you could just fly into a tree. Like,
it's definitely,
like McCall did.
Yep, that's an option. Yeah. Always an option.
Killing us both. I mean,
but like, well, yeah. But there are twists on it. You know, we talked about them. But it feels how I would expect a high budget battle royale to feel. And I think we talked off podcast about like solos. I don't think I'm having much. I mean, I'm having fun, but I'm not having as much fun in solo as I am in teams. But then that was true of PUBG and Fortnite. So. Yeah. But it is good fun. Generally.
Yeah, it's a mode that I definitely won't play solo because I think I've mentioned before on a podcast, Battle Royale kind of game type, I'm not a huge fan of, if I'm honest. I mean, I'll play them and they like you say, they are good fun with a team, but they're not something that I'm going to sit and put, you know, pump hours and hours and hours into. I have had a lot of fun playing duos with my pal Munch, and then another friend of mine has bought the game and we are now a team of three. Right. So we've had a couple of goes at quads, obviously being backfilled by another player, but yeah, I mean, it's good fun. But since I've moved to the multiplayer, I've been spending much more time with that. I've also had a little go at Zombies. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at that yet.
I'm not going to say when we're recording, but like the next thing for me is I'm going to literally spend a day playing Zombies. And the reason I haven't yet is not because I don't like Zombies, because I always feel that Zombies, it's fine. It's a good option. I've never quite got the hysteria around this mode. I like it, but it's never been like this year. I felt like, oh, without a single player, maybe Zombies will be where I spend my time, but I wasn't expecting the multiplayer to get me. I don't know what they could have done that's drastically changed Zombies, but to make it amazing, you know.
I've had a little go. I've had one game. Zombies isn't really a mode that I like to play.
It's all right, isn't it? Again, it's not bad, but.
Yeah, I mean, it seems pretty good. There's a lot of options, which I'm not quite sure what they all are at the moment. There's two different ways to play, from what I can gather, each with different types of game modes. I'm not entirely sure.
One's on a boat, not a boat, Alcatraz, isn't it?
See, I haven't played that. The one where it's like you're in a Colosseum-style arena. Yeah. I think we got to like wave 14 or something. So
is that one not... Because like Zombies, they've made into its whole own story thing regularly.
Yeah.
So is the Colosseum one an enclosed map? Like you can't unlock doors and go off into corridors?
Oh, no, you can. Yeah, yeah. You obviously collect currency while you're shooting the aliens, the zombies, and then, you know, you have to spend that on buying a weapon or opening up another area. In terms of the puzzle stuff, I'm not entirely sure what's going on with it.
No.
Because I know in the past, like, for example, I played a fair amount of World War II Zombies, and that was, like, there was stuff coming up, you know, like objectives to do. So it'd say, like, you know, connect the two generators. So at least during a round, you know, you'd be trying to work out how to connect these two generators. I didn't notice that so much in the one game that I've played so far. So I'm a bit confused by Zombies. Okay. And I always have been confused by Zombies, I'm not going to lie. I don't really get the appeal. I mean, it's essentially just a horde mode, isn't it?
It is.
But you've got, like, different classes of characters now, and you can set, like, these tonics.
Yeah,
and you can
this.
Do something in the laboratory to mix tonics. I don't really know. I haven't really looked at that bit at the minute.
See, they have definitely gone big with Zombies, because I was just having a... Like, I think the first time I was playing the game, the first day, I was, like, looking through the achievements. There's a lot of them for Zombies. A lot of them have
there
been dedicated
is,
to Zombies. Which,
yeah,
which suggests that it's... Certainly, Treyarch are the ones who did Zombies first, aren't they?
They are, yes,
So fair enough if they're going to be the ones that go big with it. But I'm kind of surprised in that. I think so far, for, like, the reason I haven't played Zombies yet is because Blackout and multiplayer has got me more than I thought it would. Like I don't know. We're not gonna ask Nicola here to give like a, and this is what score I'm going to give it, because it is one of those games. We got it the day it came out, so you know we play until we feel happy that, you know, she says, I've played enough, I'm ready to score it. And it is one of those games. But then Call of Duty is also one of those games, I feel like, where you're either going to buy it launch day or you're going to wait for reviews. And if you're going to wait for reviews, then you'll wait for the reviews. You know, but I think it sounds like you and I are very positive on it so far.
I suppose also at the end of the day, if you wait for the reviews, you run the risk of being left behind.
That is very true. But then saying that, there's no reason that you need to be left behind in a game mode like Blackout, you know?
No. You always start on the same level playing field. And if, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've noticed as well, Adam, you get access to every specialist right at the beginning.
Yes.
So they had specialists in Black Ops 3, but they were behind level caps. So, like, for example, the fella who, Firebreaker chap, I remember he was like a level 40-odd, 42 yeah. maybe, guy that you unlocked. But now you've got access to them straight away. The only thing that I can see that you are unlocking is weapons.
Loadouts and stuff.
Weapons and score streaks.
Also, like going back to the Siege comparison, the thing I noticed is that you can't... I obviously the opposite team can have them, but you and I can't both be the same specialist. Like there's definitely some attempt at composition here.
The control mode. If you play Team Deathmatch or Kill Confirmed, or I presume Domination, you can have up to two
The
same.
But the fact that you can't in these other modes suggest... I'm not saying they're going full Overwatch.
It's
seems
a bit
like,
hero shootery, isn't it, some of the modes?
It is. Yeah. I'm not sure that so... Again, so far, I'm not sure I feel that there's much point in that. I don't feel like... Because the thing about that those modes are, as much as I like them, you do fall afoul of the fact that there are certain types of COD player who, no matter what mode they're playing, in their head, it's free-for-all. And that's nothing. You can do nothing about that. And limiting, I know you said hero choice, but limiting specialist choice doesn't change the fact that they don't all run off to get. You know, the difference between us playing on a mic and going, right, let's go to point A, and playing with randoms is that they just run over trying to get kills.
The thing is, though, there's a couple of like more defensive style specialists that I think on those maps. You know, like if you're defending, you can go with the dude who has the tripwire. You know, so you can do a bit of entry denial. There's another guy who does like a barbed wire type barrier.
That's right. There's a seeker, like a seeker drone, car remote control seeker thing that drives off and finds someone, and if it finds them, it stuns them. I'm not sure if he's attack or defend actually, but.
Yeah, Prophet. Kind of... I've been playing with him. He's quite cool.
Yeah, I like him. And the guy, the grappling hook guys that you used to mention Titanfall.
That's Ruin.
That's quite cool. Quite cool, hitting that grapple just below a ledge, popping up, and hello. That's quite cool.
He was in 3 as well. He was in Black Ops 3, but I don't recall him having a grapple hook, but he definitely had that ground slam.
Yeah.
During that sequence, during that whole segment that we've just done, the two favourite parts that I took out of that whole thing is I didn't enjoy World War II, which I think a lot of people didn't, the actual event, and the World War wasn't bad.
Right, yeah, okay. That's
you wouldn't
comment.
Hear that anywhere else, would you?
Not really, no. It's mixed messages.
Yeah.
let's find out. There's a game I've been interested to hear about whether there's mixed messages or not on. Because when it was announced, Ubisoft decided that they were going to get into the Toys to Life genre. And I think everyone went, "What, you're going to do that now?" Like, because everyone else is getting out of that game. But here they are with, you know, Nintendo on board as well. Starlink, Nick. And I'm talking to Nick Gillum there, just to be clear to listeners who used to be calling Nicola Nick.
Yeah, it's a bit of an odd one, because in the Lego Dimensions collapse, Disney Infinity collapsed, and Skylanders is on the wane.
Yeah, they just stopped.
It's a very brave time to get into Toys to Life.
Is it brave or is it silly? Well, tell us.
It's brave, really. To their benefit, they haven't made a huge amount of these models. There's like 10 pilots, 8 ships, and like 16 guns. I haven't done the exact maths. So there's not like hundreds and hundreds of Skylanders you've got to collect. So
hang on.
At least rein themselves in.
Can you explain to me, because I've seen pictures of a Switch controller with a spaceship clipped to it, right? And yep. I thought, I'll be honest with you, right? I don't feel like I've heard much about this game. I don't feel like I know what kind of game it is, and I don't feel like I understand what... Because you just mentioned guns, and I didn't even know that there were guns. You're talking about like physical models of guns.
Yeah, so...
So where do they go?
So I'm playing on Switch. Okay. The Xbox and PlayStation versions, you get a little dock that slots onto your controller.
Okay.
And then you, on top of that dock, you put the pilot. On top of the pilot, you put the ship chassis. On the chassis, you then put the wings. And then on the wings, you put guns.
Jesus.
But you can, on the wings, you can
put... On the controller. This is on the controller.
Yeah. on the wings, though, you can put other wings on top of those wings. Then you can put other wings on top of those wings, and then you can put guns on top of those wings.
Right.
So you can increase your stats by just chucking on other loads of bits here, there, and everywhere. It's playing with that is probably the best part of it.
What, the actual, like, mucking around with the toys?
Yeah. Like the R-Wing that the Switch version comes with, the little blue bits that are on the wings on the R-Wing, you can actually manually open and close it. There's nothing in the game, but you can manually open and close those little bits, and it's a nice attention to detail that I quite like in these sort of things.
So, God, I have so many questions, if I'm honest with you. So, that's... okay, let's just start with the obvious question. That sounds like the controller would become quite heavy. Now,
no.
Okay. It doesn't.
It's really quite light. You will not actually notice it there. If you sort of sit there with your hands in your lap, it doesn't tilt forward or anything. It weighs pretty much next to nothing.
Okay.
I remember holding a Dooku a long time ago. It literally weighs no more than a Dooku would. So if you could hold on to a Dooku comfortably, you can hold on to this.
I like the way you say Duke. I like that.
Duke.
I mean, I always thought it was pronounced like the sort of monarchy style, the Duke. We are talking about the Xbox controller, right?
Yeah. That's what I was referring to.
No, I like the way you say that. It sounds almost like you're going to say Dookie, which is, of course, American for shit.
Shit.
Or Ducati.
Yeah. Oh, blimey. Again, normally I'm sort of playing devil's advocate, the host kind of asks the questions, but I genuinely don't know, so I need you to tell me. Is this like Skylanders? Is it a platform game? What the hell? Describe this game. Like, I wouldn't normally ask someone to describe what this game is, but I don't understand what it is.
You mentioned the word platform there, which elicited a rather horrendous sigh from myself. I'll come back to that in a minute.
Okay.
But the game is essentially, it's a Ubisoft RPG. I never played The Crew, but I imagine that the fact that you fly down the planets and you roam around the planets looking for points that you can claim for your faction. The more faction members you've got, the better defenses that the planets have got from the Legion, who are out to... They haven't said whether they're conquering the world or what, but they're there and they're trying to cause trouble, and they're making these great big things called Primes, and you're just there just to basically clear them out captain back.
Fundamentally, I'm not trying to be smart-ass here. I genuinely want to know. When you take control of this game and you use the two sticks, what is going on? Like, is it a flight sim game? You say it's an Ubisoft RPG, but it can't be. It must be you're flying, right?
You start off in space in the middle of a dogfight. So you're there and you shoot these guys down. You go back to the ship.
So is it like...
The ship crashes, and then you're on a planet, so then you're roaming around this planet, you find a refinery...
But when you say,
roaming
around the planet...
Yep.
In a
spaceship. You never come out the spaceship.
So is it like Star Fox?
You're flying around. No. In a way, but unlike Star Fox, which is like a linear level with the occasional branching path, here you can go in any direction all around the planet... Go to whatever location you want on the planet, and at some point, whatever you want, you can hold the R button down. That allows you to come up off the planet to fly, and you can fly up into the atmosphere and back out to space, and then go to another planet in the same system, or back to the Equinox, the ship that's your main hub of operations.
Am I the only one who's confused?
I played this at EGX, so I kind of know what he means.
It sounds a bit No Man's Sky, but without the ability to get out of your ship.
Yeah, you go to a point on the map, that person gives you a mission, normally a fetch quest or go here and kill that. You talk to them
just
via
radio
communication.
So are you just hovering?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I'm sorry I'm asking silly questions, but like I'm imagining you just like, almost imagine taking Assassin's Creed, you're just running around the person in circle until they finish talking, then you run off. Perpetual motion of a spaceship,
Right, do you want to know something you want to hear something about you really confuse them?
Sure,
it's
why
got
not?
Platforming.
No, I'm afraid it can't have. You just said
it has.
No.
So right, your ship can take off.
Yeah.
Your ship can take off and fly around the planet, but there are certain points in the game where your ship has to hold something, and when it's holding this item, it can't fly.
How can a ship hold something?
It's got a tractor beam. It holds it outside.
Okay,
the ship. Use your imagination, Adam. I know you're an adult, but you've got to have an imagination.
But I thought you were talking like it had mechanical arms that come out like Transformers or something.
No, not this one.
No,
but
it's got a tractor beam.
That then enforces you to not be able to fly. So then you've got a section where you'll have to get that item to a platform that's too high for you to jump up to. So you've got to jump from platform to platform to get up there. And some of these bits are absolutely minging as fuck.
It sounds fucking awful, if
you're
being honest.
Because your ship has a certain amount of inertia. So if you jump forward and your ship carries on going forward after it lands, so that's what you can end up skidding off the other side of the platform straight back down to the ground. Now, when you do that on the first platform, it's not so bad. When you do it up at the top, about 10 jumps in, and you've got to start all over again, then it really gets annoying. Mm. Really annoying.
I'm so confused.
It does sound a bit weird.
Is this for kids or not?
My son actually really enjoys it.
And how old is he, if you don't mind saying?
He's eight. Okay. So the fact is, the mission structure in it is either your typical RPG fare. It's either a fetch quest or a kill quest. And that core loop is quite good for a kid because they quite enjoy repetition.
Yeah.
But for most sensible people, it's going to be like, have I really got to go to a point and kill something again? And it's an okay game. The actual going around the planet, finding things is quite nice. The actual upgrading refineries, upgrading your ship, upgrading your getting XP and unlocking things, that's all fine. But it's ruined by that bog standard mission structure and that god awful platforming.
So what are we? Take me. I'm Joe Bloggs Cook, and I'm in the shop buying Starlink for my children. Right. I've taken it home. I've got them the starter pack, which I'm guessing it's got like Skyland's got a couple of ships in it or whatever. I take it home. What is the hook to get me to go and buy more Starlinks?
Right.
What do we call these? Yeah, they're not Skylanders.
All the weapons have an element to them. So you've got your heat weapons, your ice weapons, your gravity weapons, kinetic ones, and stasis weapons. And of course, like a rock, paper, scissors thing sort of does, even like Skylanders, like fire's good against ice, and you can pair the weapons up to do certain things as well. So if you use a gravity weapon that creates a void, you can then fire an ice weapon at your void to create an ice void. So then that does more damage to something that's on fire.
Is this the kind of game you need? This is the kind of game that needs a demo.
Well, you can't really do a demo because you need the ships.
But the what, sorry?
The ships.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay.
I've got a cold.
If you're telling me I need the ships, I can sort you out there.
Probably the most impressive thing about it is the way it works on the Switch, though. Because once you've put the ships
perfect
into
on
the
Switch,
game,
Nick?
No, no. It's graphically, it's got to be inferior to the PS4 and Xbox One versions, obviously. But the fact
you can't
it's
say that
it looks,
you can't. You listen. You're not on this podcast every week. You can't say things like obviously the other consoles are better. Just throw that out there like it's acceptable
it's
truth.
Not,
it is.
It's
a
not
truth.
Like you're going to confine me to Gary's caravan of bad opinions, is it? I mean, come on.
No. You've got your own caravan separate away from people like Gary. That you're in the yours has got it's got a nice chandelier in it. It's got running water.
Anyway, but once you scan the items that you've got into the game, the game remembers them for 7 days. So then if you then take your Switch on a commute or go on a holiday for a week, you can then continue playing using those items via the loading
screen.
That's quite clever. You can switch them without having to cart all that stuff around with you.
See, that,
which is it's a good feature
them.
To have.
That's the thing that bothers me about this game, the thing that I don't quite understand. Why
really?
Because
I've got plenty, Gaz, but go on.
But why all the physical shit? Why not just have this stuff that you can get in the game? It kind of just doesn't make any sense.
It's called money, Gary. You know what money is.
No,
right?
But they're not going to make any because
Toys
to Life's dead.
He's got a real good point. There must have been a point where why didn't they just decide, look, we'll bundle it with a ship, the same, like a collector's edition, but let's... Because all this is, it's like Skylanders. All you're doing is you're putting a thing on that makes a thing appear that already exists in the game. He's got a point. Mm. Would this game, I mean, we don't know if it will do well as it is, but would it have done, I don't want to say it, but would it have done better if it was just like a unlock stuff thing without buying toys?
I don't know. As it stands, though, in my opinion, it needs a bit more of an expansion before it becomes something that realistically you're going to want to have. The ships are nice. It's nice to tinker and play with them, but unless there's some sort of DLC that gives you more to do outside of the what the game already has, it doesn't feel like it's worth getting at the moment.
Fair enough.
It's an average game. I mean, it's okay, but it has made it does have issues. It really does.
Well, you'll be able to, I think, by the time this podcast goes wide to everyone, because obviously we give it to people on Patreon early, but that will be going up after embargo, but then the review will, I think, long be up by the time everyone can hear this. You'll know what score Nick gave. I'm not going to ask him here. Before we get into news, I just want to quickly mention a game, because I feel like I have to balance out that with a VR game. Astrobot Rescue Mission is the game Chris reviewed, and I'm this sounds like I'm throwing Chris under the bus. I don't mean to, but whenever I see a VR game get a really high score, I'm like, but it's kind of spot on. Like, it's what a... Like, I've seen people say things like, oh, this is the one to buy PSVR for. And I don't think that's true. I think there is no one game that can sell PSVR or VR full stop. There's no one game where you're like, oh, this game is well worth spending 300 quid on. But if it's like you've got five games and you're like, I just need one more and I'll buy it, it's a lovely platformer. Really clever. It's difficult to describe because so much of it is about the perspective of VR, but it is just a simple, you know, Mario Odyssey style or Mario 3D platformer with your head as the camera, and you have to look around the environments to find the hidden stuff. And then early on, you put your controller, you're physically holding a PlayStation 4 controller, which you put into something, and it adds a grapple hook, which you then flick out of your controller. And it's that moment where you're like, this game's smart. And then when it culminates, that first world in, it looks like Donkey Kong, but this huge sort of Donkey Kong attacking you, and you have to hit his teeth with the grapple hook. Sorry, you have to punch his teeth out, and then it reveals a hook under his teeth that you pull it. You know, this game's got oodles of character. And it was only sort of when I played it, I realised this is that... I wonder if Sony are trying to go for a mascot-y thing here, because Astrobot is kind of the VR mascot, isn't he? He was...
Yeah.
You know, there was some stuff, when like the free stuff. I can't think what it was called.
Playroom, is it from that?
Yes.
That little guy.
Yes. That's him. Yeah. and he is... I think he's a bit too cute, if I'm honest with you.
Is it just... be too cute?
No, he is. He literally... He can't... This has got to stop. We need to stop the dancing in games. I'm not anti all dancing, but there's a bit too much of it just recently. Like, I saw a video, Gaz, and I don't. You know when you play Forza Horizon and you do the beauty spots?
Yeah.
And your character basically.
I know what you're going with.
Is this because you can't dance?
I can dance, man. I can dance. Not well.
Is this because your kids keep doing the Fortnite dances you just can't keep up?
See, mine don't do it, but like, you know the floss is in Forza Horizon 4. Gaz, you know this, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen the beauty spot where you're kind of... Because basically in a beauty spot, I mean, Nicola, you've played them, you know. Mm. You pull up to the beauty spots and you kind of have a panning shot of like, there's a beauty spot, your car and your avatar, and your avatar's doing whatever dance you've said it to do.
Mm.
So this is one that just stood on the edge of like a cliff top with a waterfall coming up, just flossing into the air. And I think it's got to stop, because like, I feel like there's a bit of Fortnite dancing going on when you finish a level in Astrobot, and... It's kind of too cute, because like the little thing, his voice is like like that, because he's not speaking, and it's kind of like almost Teletubbies like. And I think it's maybe too cute for its own good, maybe. But yeah, again, don't buy VR for one game, please, for the love of God. Make sure you've got a list of five or six. I mean, I think most.
I mean, Moss maybe.
This is way better than Moss for me.
Super Hot. Yeah. Is it better than Super Hot VR?
No VR game is better than Super Hot. I do like Job Sim, but have they not got another one of them coming soon? I think they have. I can't think of what it's called. It might be Job Simulator 2, but they've definitely got another game. I did like Moss, Nick, actually, but I didn't finish it because it was... So the secret thing about PSVR is that the tracking is really fucking annoying. Like, I've set my PSVR up in another room now, and it's a much bigger room, and I thought, this will sort it. And still it asks you to sit in a very particular position for absolutely no reason. And it'll ask you to do things, and the controller will be glitching out in front of you. And it's like, I wish they would bite the bullet and say, look, fuck the Move controllers and screw the PlayStation camera. This is PSVR 2.0, and it's a brand new camera. Here's some tracking things like you get with... I would so be into that, because I actually think with Sony's sort of game sort of oomph behind them, they could actually push VR a bit, but whatever, you know, they're not going to do that now. I mean, it actually annoyed me when I was setting it up, because I was using I normally use a PS4 Pro in the office, and I set this up on a PS4 Slim in my lounge, which is much bigger than my office. And when you go into your display settings on your PS4, it actually even says your PSVR breakout box does not support HDR pass-through. And it kind of annoyed me, because it just reminded me of that whole stupid thing that they released a PS4 Pro and a PSVR that didn't basically work together. But let's stick with PSN as we do this week's news, because it's happened, or it's happening. The unthinkable. PlayStation Network name changes are coming. The PlayStation Preview program soon, with a full rollout planned for early 2019. You can all change your PlayStation Network names. How do we feel about this?
About
it's a bit
time.
Of an odd one, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really odd, because only certain games support it. Every game after April 2018 will support it, but it requires older games to have a patch to support it.
So this will be because of the PS3 and PS Vita, I would imagine, as well.
Possibly. I think Darren, you know, ROTMM, yeah, on Twitter, he made a very good point. The fact that Xbox, apparently, it ties your user ID to a binary number.
Right.
And so when you change your name, it just literally overwrites that name on top of that binary number.
Yeah.
So he's of the opinion that Sony do not do that same thing, and as a result, changing your name creates a new identifier.
Yep.
But as a result, that sort of layers on top of the old one, and so older games read the old one, and the new ones read the new one.
So, yeah, I mean, that would certainly explain why they've had to take so long to try and work out how to get it to work. But like with Microsoft, the first change is free, and subsequent ones cost $9.99. That's dollars, because, of course, everything's dollars. But if you're a PlayStation Plus member, you get a 50% discount. Not so sure I'm overly keen on the discount being... I don't know. I mean, I think at this point, do you know anyone who isn't a PS Plus member? You know?
I don't talk to people. I'm a miserable son of a bitch.
Okay, well...
But you are
enough.
A PS Plus member, though.
I am, yeah.
Yeah, I mean... Do you know, I didn't talk about it this week. We will talk about it in weeks to come. Signed up for Nintendo thingy. You know, I got a year of it because of the price.
I still haven't done that.
Fuck it, let's just briefly touch on it. Why not? Well, let's put it this way, Nick. Do you play a lot of online games on your Switch?
My son likes to play Splatoon, but he's been a bit naughty at school recently, so he hasn't actually been playing very many games. so as a result, I haven't signed up for it yet, because I think the family plan is a little bit overpriced.
I mean, I booted up the NES thing, which is a separate app, by the way. It's like an app with all the games in.
Yeah. It's a bit shit. It's a bit shit.
I tried playing games that I love, like Mario 3. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to play.
Should have just been virtual games. Console. I just don't see the point in this. And yep. It's like, obviously, like you. I spoke to you the other day about it. It's like the fact that certain things are just stuck behind this paywall, even though it's not actually multiplayer, is kind of garbage. And
I mean, yeah, we both had to sign up for a game that, ironically enough, the online isn't playable yet. So that was well worth. That was brilliant. Superb. Yeah. Now this might be superb. The Lego Overwatch toys. The first one is Omnic Bastion. This is dangerous. I have a shelf of amiibo right in front of me, but I like me some Overwatch.
I do kind of want that Omnic Bastion. There's a guy at work. There's a guy I know, and he sits opposite me, and he's got all this Lego all over the place.
Yep.
And I just want that to join the collection, but I'm not sure if I'm willing to pay £22.50.
Is it overpriced?
Oh!
It depends how big it is. I can't really tell how big it is. I wonder if I'm going to click through to I mean, this is dangerous looking at the... I don't know, Nicola, you're a big Overwatch fan. Have you ever looked at the Overwatch, the Blizzard store on Overwatch?
No, I don't.
Don't. For the love of all things holy, do not.
I saw some stuff at EGX and I had to walk away.
Yep. That's like, every time I look at it, like there's statues that are hundreds of pounds. Like
I don't see how the Lego Overwatch stuff can be any good as Overwatch Nendoroids, because Nendoroids are amazing things.
Here we go. So Bastion's building toy stands over 4 inches, 12 centimeters tall, 182 pieces. Is that it's not tiny.
Well, we bought my son a Lego camper van yesterday. That only cost us £12.50, and I'm pretty sure I have more than 148 pieces.
So hang on, your son's naughty and he can't play games, but you're buying him Lego.
He had a good end to the week.
Okay, fair enough.
And he did all right at football, so we gave him
some. No, fair enough. Hey, listen, this is not the parent judgment podcast. There probably is one. Gary, this is a bit of news for you. You'll be very happy to hear that Forza Horizon 4 has seen more than 2 million players in release week on Xbox and Windows 10 platform.
Yeah, I mean,
happy?
I wonder how many of them are Game Pass players, but still, it's nice to see it get so many players.
Hey, wasn't that Sea of Thieves stat as well? 2 million players on launch.
Well, it was actually something like that, yeah. Mm. I think it was 1 million. Yeah, I think it was
one million and then it went up, yeah. But still, yeah. I mean, it's good. I think it kind of shows that Game Pass is working. If this includes, or rather, depending on the percentage of those. But, I mean,
on that note, can we just remind people that if they pay for a month of a Game Pass through PayPal, they get a month free?
Mm.
Just, I'm not pimping it, but I'm just saying, if you've been interested, getting an extra month for free is well worth having.
Yeah, I mean, we don't get nothing out of that. You know, it's just a genuinely good way of doing it. Just a few stats: more than 4.6 million hours of gameplay have been watched across Mixer, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook as of October the 9th. Players have logged more than 822.7 million miles. The community has settled in quite nicely, living the life, purchasing more than 4.1 million properties and owning more than 74.4 million cars, and more than 377.7 million roads have been discovered. It's no secret, Forza Horizon's an absolutely brilliant game. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed, you know, Little Pimp for the YouTube channel, youtube.com/GeekIWhat. Enjoyed you, Gary and Nicola, playing with Mick F. Mick D. That stream was terrific fun. I enjoyed that, and I just think it's a wonderfully social game in that respect. And listen, it looks insane. Like, if you want to show off your new telly or your Xbox One X or whatever, it's a cracking game to do so.
Yeah,
I'm. Do you know that? I think, in fact, have we got a question? No, we've got a similar question, but this is one of those games that I just wish I could find a bit of time. Like, I'm playing other stuff for work, so to speak, and I wish I could find a bit of time. I keep thinking about Forza. You know, it's that Red Dwarf quote again. You know, I'll be with Wilma, but I'll be thinking about it. And it's that. You know, I wish I could. Gary, when I watched that stream and saw your level, I was astonished.
Yeah, I think I'm like, level 161 or something like that now. I've played a lot of this game.
I'm starting to wonder: is there a cap?
No, but there is an achievement for hitting 200.
You'll get it.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that should be what you stream. Just keep streaming that game until you hit 200.
Although it's challenge getting to Gary. That point of being a little bit of a grind now, because the amount of experience you get in each race now isn't that much, so the bar goes up slower and slower every level. Mm. But it's not stopping me playing it, though.
I haven't played it since that stream, actually.
It's fun.
Stuck on other stuff.
Well, like I say, that's what I mean. Like, you're playing things you got to play, but you think, well, I don't know if you are, but I'm thinking of that. I'll tell you another game I've been thinking of, on and off, for what feels like ever, is Borderlands 3. Because it does feel like Gearbox will do anything but actually say the words Borderlands 3.
Mm.
And now we've got Borderlands 2, which is coming to PSVR. It was announced as part of the 2-year celebration of PlayStation VR. I'll play it. I'll have a go.
Borderlands 2 is kind of becoming the Skyrim, isn't it? Where it's like it's coming out on everything.
Come on now. Come on.
Although the speed of that game in VR could be extremely sickening.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'll play it.
I will.
Why wouldn't? No, you won't. That's fair enough. lastly this week, just some Fortnite news. So Fortnite is heading to retail again, because it was retail already. Like, you could buy a boxed version of it, and you can again. But this time it's with Warner Brothers. for some reason. They're distributing Fortnite Deep Freeze Bundle. That is a bundle for Xbox One, Switch and PS4. It costs £25 or bar a penny and comes out November 16th. You're going to get Fortnite Battle Royale and Frostbite Outfit, Cold Front Glider, Chillax Pickaxe, which is a harder phrase to say than I thought it would be when I read it, a Freezing Point Back Bling, that's also difficult, and 1,000 V-Bucks. That's November 16th, but it's not going to be a disc. It's just basically a box with a code in it. And also in Fortnite news, has anybody seen the Strictly Come Dancing Fortnite video?
No.
No, I've seen a screen cap of it, but that's it.
So it's basically the dancers and celebrities doing Fortnite dances.
I'd like to point out, though, on the first week, there's a YouTuber on there, Joe Sugg, and he did a Fortnite dance on the first week.
He did.
And I tweeted about it, and no, I didn't see anyone picking up on it at that point, which is slightly odd, but they picked up on this.
He did. He's not the only one. There's been subtle Fortniting, which is what we're going to call it from now on. There's been subtle Fortniting throughout Strictly this season.
I've seen.
No, there's definitely been a little. I'm sure I saw someone flossing. I mean, not during the actual dance, during the behind the scenes stuff. I'm sure it was. You know, I found that very awkward to watch this week with all the stuff that's been in the news. But I also don't care. So. Let's get to listener correspondence, and David Ayers starts with a cracker, actually. What game have you put the most time into, but you still don't know if you actually like it? Difficult one.
Probably Horizon Zero Dawn for me.
Ooh. Fucking hell.
Because it's one of those games that...
Warm up the caravan.
I can kind of see why people love it, but I can also kind of get the combat's kind of awkward.
Gary, I'm just going to say this, and I reckon Nicola will agree with me. If you're going to start on Horizon, you're going in that caravan, mate, and we're throwing away the key. We're throwing the key away. You ain't coming back out.
Actually,
of the
Adam, you're going to have to vacate that caravan because you're going to want to put me in it.
Well, you not? But have you played it?
I haven't played it.
Well, that's all right.
But the game that I'm going to suggest is going to probably make you want to probably throw me in there and push it off the edge of a cliff.
All right.
It's Breath of the Wild.
Oh.
I.
Adam's gone quiet. All right, Adam.
I wasn't prepared for this. I think someone else needs to name a game because I have never felt so attacked. I suppose. Nah, I was going to say Assassin's Creed Odyssey, but I haven't put much into that. I want to put more into it, and I do know I like it, so that's the complete opposite end of the question, isn't it? I don't know. Because. I'll be honest with you, I tend to drop a game if I don't like it, or if I'm not sure. If I'm not like, oh, this is really good, I drop it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nowadays, I don't force myself through a game.
If it has to be probably 30 hours or less for me to actually commit to completely finishing a game these days.
Yeah. Yeah, because
I had that thing with a little bit with Andromeda. Like, I played that for 10 or 12 hours before giving up on it. It's garbage.
Do you know what?
I'm sorry, but it is.
I still don't know if I like Andromeda, and I think I put about 12 hours in, and I just eventually gave up. I don't know. I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it.
I just thought every single one of the characters was just fucking nothing. I just didn't care about any of them.
Proper getting on my nerves now, Gary.
Well, let's move on. Thomas at Llama Fluff 42 says, Have any of you fallen victim to open world fatigue? I swear I never want to climb anywhere in a video game again. What do you reckon? Should devs focus on more shorter titles, getting us hooked from the get-go, rather than making bloated games that many will never finish?
I
think we've all been through it, haven't we? We've all kind of gone, oh, another open world one.
But again, I tend with an open world game, I feel like I know pretty early on if I'm going to get into it, and if I'm not, I just stop.
Yeah.
But not everyone has, because you think if someone's dropped 40, 50 quid on a game.
No, absolutely.
That kind of thing. I do get it, but I do also quite like my open world games at the moment. So,
yeah.
I think I kind of sort of go up and down on the whole thing. It's like sometimes I'm well into the open world, others I'll just be like, I can't be bothered, I'd rather just play something like Gone Home or whatever, you know, or something short and sweet.
There's two parts to this though, isn't there? And in one area, it means that companies can spend less money on developing them, meaning they're spending less money on creating a shorter experience, meaning that it opens people up to finishing it quicker and playing more games, and as a result, spending more money on them.
Well, I want to also mention that, like, because Thomas also sent this question via Twitter, and I don't know if you reworded it, because I saw a different version. I've just
found it. There's
a piece in Edge magazine about how games are too big, taking too long to show their hands. And it plays into a little personal thing of mine that I sometimes think people who work in the industry get too caught up in their own bubble. Like, you specifically called out the fact that if you've spent 40 quid on a game as a member of the general public, you're not going to just drop it. And that is something, and I just fell afoul of that, really, in a way, by saying what I said. But it's worth saying that I've heard people on podcasts recently say things like, and I think I said it actually as well, Assassin's Creed Odyssey is one of those games that if you only could buy a game a month or a game every few months because you didn't have the money, what a game. That's going to last you,
man. Oh, yeah.
You know, and whereas some people in the media will be looking at it going, oh, fucking hell, how long? I think the people who actually end up having to pay the money for it are maybe going, oh, wow, how long? Do you know what I mean?
I'm not
saying that's a catch-all, because I think there are people who buy a game and go, oh, I wasn't expecting it to be 100 hours. But yeah. I feel like people have got to the point where they're hoping to review a short game. But you have to remember that maybe the person buying that is really hoping Red Dead, for example, will be 100 hours of their life and they can't get enough of it. Whereas they're not going to be in a position which is like, oh, shit, I'm on deadline to get this reviewed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to keep saying it. I spent £70 on The Witcher 3 and I haven't played it for more than 7 hours.
But why?
I got to a point and I had to play something else and I've just never gone back to it.
I find sometimes that huge games are daunting. So I keep putting off starting them because I'm thinking, oh my God, this game's huge. I know it's huge. I haven't time to play it.
And how would you have felt in Odyssey if you had bought it and you, within the first couple of hours, you saw what you... Obviously, you didn't pay for it, you were playing it for review, so you know it's difficult to say how would you feel if you weren't, because you did, but take that, try and imagine how you'd feel, because I sort of had that experience where I'm playing it and I was like, holy shit, there's a lot of this. Mm-hmm. There's not just a lot of it, there's a lot of everything, and it's like that. It's not, I'm trying to think of a game that does this. There are some games that do that, but they gradually eke it out. Like Spider-Man's very good at that. It slowly shows you stuff. Odyssey, it's like, here's this, and this, and this, and that, and there's more, and this. And I'm like, whoa, you're vomiting at me at the moment. Like, I'm not going to remember all this. And it's a bit like, will I remember that move in 10 hours' time? Because, do you think you'd have still gone through it if you hadn't reviewed it?
Assassin's Creed Odyssey would have been a game that I would definitely pick up.
Okay.
But it would have been maybe a year down the line when it was a little bit cheaper and perhaps as something to pick up through a summer drought or something like that. Because knowing, like, for example, I'm still playing Odyssey. I'm like nearly 70 hours in. I've finished the main story, but there's still load of stuff to do, and even now it's at nearly 70 hours, I still, that kind of what's still left to do can feel a little bit daunting at times. Wow. Now I'm actually pursuing this other stuff now because I've enjoyed the game so much and I really like the game and I like being in the world, but you know, a lesser game, I guess I'd have just gone, right, I finished the story, I can't be arsed with the rest of it now. It just feels too much. But fortunately, with this one, I'm prepared to do it. But it would have definitely been a game that I would have waited for, because I'd been looking at the schedule leading up to Christmas thinking, have I got time to play that? Yeah. You know, there's probably other games that on the face of it would have been an insta-buy, whereas Assassin's Creed would have been something that I definitely wanted to play, but it wasn't like a must-have.
See, because I'm thinking of like the Game of the Year stuff, like the people who do the Game of the Year podcast are under a bit of pressure to kind of not finish, but get their eye in on a couple of the biggies. And like, I know the one for you is God of War.
Yeah, well, it's my birthday next month, so on my birthday list.
That's right. So I know that's like, 'cause I think Origins was that last year for me, and Odyssey, I think, is it for this year. But because I know there's no Assassin's Creed next year, well, they've said there isn't, I feel a little bit less pressured that I feel like I've played enough of Odyssey to at least be able to listen to an argument. Do you know what I mean? Rather than, you know, I feel like, you kind of got your eye in. McPoo this week would like to know, would you rather have a friendly little worm that lived in your ear? He doesn't do much, he just pops out every now and then to say hello and spent the rest of his time living in there, causing you no real bother. Or a single, I'm just reading this for the first time, it's tickled me, or a single small boob hanging from your chin.
It's going to be the first one, isn't it?
I think it has.
So much easier.
Well, he's certainly got an imagination, this guy, isn't he?
Fantastic.
Or this person.
Why would you want a boob hanging from your chin?
It's got to be the little worm. I mean, a boob's nice to fondle, but on your chin, it's just a bit weird.
I mean, I don't think anything more needs saying after that. A boob's nice to fondle, but you wouldn't want it hanging off your chin.
And he'd rather have a little worm. So.
Well, and I think I shall just change the podcast title there to A Little Worm. That's a podcast for this week. Thank you again to Nicola, Nick and Gary for being here.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
I'm sure they would all think it was remiss of me to not remind you to go to patreon.com, have a look at it for $1 a month. You get this very podcast early, extended, where we talk about, do you know what? I'm not going to tell you what we talked about this week, but it was fun. You just have to listen. Normally Chris does like a rude story leading into it that he then tells the absolute truth about afterwards. But not this week. But yeah, youtube.com/GodIsAGeek, obviously Twitter, Facebook, all those things, Instagram. You can find us on all of those things. Just type in God is a Geek. Do listen to the podcast again next week. Do subscribe to it. Do leave a review, 5 stars. Leave a little few words in there just about what you thought of the podcast. You can even subscribe via Podbean, who are our hosts. That is it. Yeah, that's it. We will see you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.